Thank you for all the calls in that last segment. It's so interesting to hear the range of our listeners and their response on topics like that. And I'm asking the same for this topic, which is how to cope with COVID-19 fatigue. Public health officials are trying to tell people just hang on, keep doing the things that are going to keep you safe, because vaccines are coming and we are going to turn the corner next year on COVID-19. But that's, of course, easier said than done. So my question for you is, how are you taking care of your mental health during this very stressful time? 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. With me from Alliant International University, Associate Provost of the University, Diana Concannon. She's a forensic psychologist who's worked in crisis response for over a decade, so has a very good sense of how people respond to severe stress. And I think this era in America's history certainly qualifies. Professor Concannon, Provost Concannon, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So just for yourself, what are some of the ways you're doing self-care to get through this time?
That's a really good question. I think that many of us are experiencing the exhaustion from the profound disruption that we have experienced that is seemingly never ending, and especially as we're coming up on the holidays, which are going to look very different this year for most of us than they have in previous years. It's so critically important to acknowledge, firstly, that this is a straining time. It's challenging, and that we need to engage very intentionally in self-care practices, the things that in other times we may let slip and let slide away. For myself, that is involvement with others, connection to others, being more present with others, and having expectations that are realistic. It takes more time to do basic things during this time. Remembering to, you know, have our masks, having to enter grocery stores, often waiting in lines, other things. It takes more time. And so breaking down to-do lists so that they are more manageable, being aware of those that are going to perhaps need more of us than usual, and making the time to be present for them, I think are all important. And then also the what I call the superpower of gratitude, connecting to those things that we're grateful for, is an incredible way to reconnect to resilience. It immediately resets heart and mind and elevates our mood in a way that I think is very restorative.
You know, I think one of the things that so many of us challenge through this period is judgmentalism. And we were talking last week about how some people have started hoarding again of some basic supplies at stores and asking, you know, sort of what's going on here? Why are people doing this? And we were theorizing that one of the things is a loss of control. There's so many things we cannot control in our lives, but, you know, we can go and stock up on toilet paper or paper towels or hand sanitizer and feel some sense of control of this limited thing in our world. And I wonder if you could speak to that issue, because I think we are judging each other very harshly, which is human nature, particularly under stress. And we are all feeling this sense that we can't control what's going on around us.
Absolutely. And the anxiety that emerges as a result of feeling out of control is an extremely human experience that I think we all can relate to. I think managing our own anxiety is the first thing to look to, and then understanding and having compassion for those that might not have the ability at certain times to manage their anxiety, recognizing that we are so blessed to live in a nation that really does have resources. And for those that need, I think we are mobilizing with food banks and with other supplies and donations, and we have resources to be able to share with each other. And for those of us who have what we need, to be able to look for those opportunities to give to others and to engage in acts of service, also, I think, helps with the judgmentalism, ironically, because it allows us to connect with our compassion and to recognize that those that may be engaging in those hoarding behaviors really are coming from often a place of anxiety, and they have less reserves to manage it than we might.
We're talking with forensic psychologist Diana Concannon. She's with Alliant International University, where she's associate provost. I'd like to hear from you how you're dealing with what's been dubbed COVID fatigue. And it's funny, I sort of look at this two ways. On the one hand, I know it's concerning. We look at people who don't cover their faces, who don't keep distance from other people, who are getting together in large groups, and you know, it's concerning. At the same time, when you look that we're over 8 months into this and that most people are adhering, that in and of itself is kind of remarkable. I think if you would have asked most of us, would we 8.5 months ago have pictured the overwhelming majority of people accepting these limits and living their lives with them, I don't know that we would have given our fellows that degree of credit. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. How do you help deal with the COVID fatigue that we're experiencing? How do you talk to yourself, or what do you do to try and get through it? We'll be back in a minute. I want to take a moment in this Thanksgiving week to express my thanks to the wonderful production team of AirTalk. I am so fortunate to get to work with our team every day. Matt D'Angelo-Antonio is senior producing on an interim basis right now. Natalie Chudnovsky and Lindsay Wright also producing. Julia Murray has been helping us the past several weeks. And our news apprentices are Manuel Valladares and James Chow. Our engineer is Parker McDaniels. We appreciate all of their terrific work, their dedication, and what they provide. We're talking right now with Alliant International University Associate Provost Diana Concannon, who's a forensic psychologist, talking with us about how to deal with the whole COVID-19 fatigue syndrome that we're facing. Let's talk with Kristen in Dana Point. Kristen, how are you coping with this?
Hi, Larry. Yes, I'm actually an equestrian, and I have found through any kind of major stress that I've been going through, my horses are a sense of comfort. They're a sense of routine, and they're the type of animal that you really must be present with in order to work with them effectively. And of course, you may know that they're used for emotional therapy, mm-hmm. physical therapy, and that kind of thing. So they're really a great source of support, comfort. I also have to leave my anxiety and stress at the door, like I said, in order to work with them.
You know, Kristen, I think what you're raising with your horses is what many people are experiencing with their pets, particularly people who are able to work at home and are spending so much more time, you know, with their dogs and cats than they would typically, and that can be a real source of refueling. Kristen, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Juliana, in Huntington Beach, what have you been doing to try and help get through feelings of COVID fatigue?
Well, I've just been sticking to a routine I've had. I clean houses, and hardly any of my customers have let me go, so I continue.
That's good.
And then as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, we no longer are going door to door, but we keep a routine on Wednesdays, Saturdays. I do letter writing and telephone witnessing. And we get on Zoom together, and so basically that. And then I wanted to let people know on our website, daw.org, an article just came out on how to deal with a pandemic fatigue.
All right. Juliana, thanks very much. And nice you've been able to keep your clients for your housekeeping business. And the interesting, I hadn't even thought for Jehovah's Witnesses who, as part of the faith, go door to door to spread the word of their belief. You couldn't do that, of course, doing COVID-19. So interesting that you're doing Zoom and writing letters in lieu of that. That's Juliana in Huntington Beach. John in Koreatown says, I take time every day to just laugh. I read a few jokes online, watch a comedy special, or laugh with a friend. It's good for mental health. John, that's great advice. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Diana Concannon, your thoughts about the terrific input from our listeners?
Yes, I think that your callers each have hit upon such important coping mechanisms. You know, Kristen, in speaking about both the animals and being in nature, has hit upon two elements that are really very important for mental health. If it is safe to go out into nature in any form, that immediately research has consistently shown elevates mood, helps boost our sense of well-being. And of course, as you pointed out, Larry, being with our pets, be they horses or cats, dogs, definitely helps us to be more present, and the unconditional regard that we get from our pets is mood elevating. And then again, Juliana's sense of routine and adapting things that were meaningful to her in a different way and maintaining a routine around those things is also important. And then John's reference to humor and laughing. Laughing also elevates mood, and maintaining the ability to do that and seeking out opportunities to do that is just wonderful.
All right, some terrific input. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Provost Concannon, do you think that with today we had the third phase 3 clinical trial vaccine that shows a strong degree of effectiveness, do you think this good news can help buoy people and carry them, you know, just 2-3 months longer here until that vaccine's available?
Yes, I do. I think hope is a very powerful motivator, and especially as we're coming into the holidays, I think one of the things that the hope and of the vaccine being realized and being more real for us than it has been heretofore can allow us to really rest in the possibility that next year will look different, and that we can plan the events that we want with family, with friends, with loved ones, for this time next year with greater confidence. And I think that that is a magnificent way to enter the holidays.
You've trained first responders and healthcare workers on the front lines, and you've dealt with just some horrible tragedies in 9/11, SARS and Ebola and H1N1 responses. Real quickly, what do you say to any caregivers, any healthcare professionals listening right now to help them get through this?
Well, and firstly, they certainly have my gratitude and respect, and it is particularly important for those on the front lines to make the time to engage in self-care and to support each other collectively. Being on the front lines of COVID-19 in particular is extremely complex, and those that are in leadership positions and are working to support frontline workers can't possibly have all the answers for how to do so well. And so this has to be a collective effort where we all work together to articulate what we need and to seek to get it.
Thank you so much, Provost Diana Concannon of Alliant International University, a forensic psychologist, joining us with her advice on how to cope with the COVID-19 that so many of us are experiencing. Have a terrific afternoon. Fresh Air with Terry Gross is next. Talk with you tomorrow morning at 10.